much more than this. I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, you need to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. Coming up on the program, April Marie Fogle in about an hour. And then in that 11 o'clock hour, our friend from Pathway Church, Travis Johnson. So stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, candidate for Congress, but also a former congressman, and a regular on FM Talk 106.5, but Jerry Carl joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff, and good morning to all your listeners. I'm doing fantastic this morning.
Hey, thanks.
Life is good.
Thanks for hopping on. Always appreciate the time. Well, how's the campaign going?
Campaign's looking very positive. I mean, we're getting, this morning we've had two new volunteers calling in, trying to help us with signs and get some people established in some rural areas. So we're finding that lane as far as, our stump speech and, our message that we want people to hear, and it's just positive, positive, positive. I'm excited. I truly am excited about this one.
Well, it's still a long way to go, but, it's just blocking and tackling, and then I guess after the holidays is when it really starts moving along, right?
That's true, but right now it's all structure. You know, you're getting people that can help you with signs. You're getting people that, got a history of putting together phone banks. You're getting those key people in the community that step forward and says, I can't do much. I don't have money, but I can do this. And those are the people that are the hardest to come up with. They truly are. The volunteers that want to help you, man offices and put out yard signs. And, the things that we all take for granted in politics are probably the hardest thing to get done.
Yeah, it's there's all these kind of flashbang scenarios, and you got a shutdown underway now in Washington, and you're responding to that, and so you keep it up with the politics of the day, but then in the end, what really matters, I suppose, is the question. Hey, while I got you here, your opponent, one of your opponents in this congressional race, has a proposal here. That he and the Secretary of State, Wes Allen, and Donnie Chesteen, the state senator from down in the Wiregrass, Dothan area, they have this idea of keeping naturalized citizens out of state constitutional offices. And, I mean, it's all the top offices, and then it even gets down to legislative seats, and then even further down to the sheriffs. But what do you make of, what do you think of it?
I don't think that was thought out very well. I know all three of them are very close friends, so they probably put it together as a group, but it wasn't thought out very well. The question came up the other day in one of our forums, did we agree with dual citizenship, people serving in Congress? My response was absolutely no. The person you're talking about didn't have an answer. But I guess this is the response to it. But I find it very offensive. We all have friends that are not naturally born in the USA. And you're telling them that they get all the citizenship, they get all the rights of the citizen in the state of Alabama and the United States, except for they can't run for a public office. The Constitution was drawn up, and I know that article you're talking about, Jeff, because I read it also. Mo Brooks wrote that, and I think Mo did such a great job putting that together. But the presidency was protected because they were afraid that they would get foreign people that would come in and run for president when the Constitution was being put together. I think what they're talking about doing in this bill is obviously state-related, and I think that is horrible. You've got people that go through all the process of becoming citizens legally, which we're encouraging people to do it legally, but now we're going to penalize them for doing it legally. I tell them they don't have a right to run for public office. I just don't understand why you would want to penalize that many people I don't remember the numbers there, but there was quite a few people in the state of Alabama and also in the United States. You're going to automatically push them away from the Republican Party? Aren't we trying to teach these folks that are coming in to the Republic, teach them that we've got a better way? And by pushing them out of the tent is not the way to do it. Well, and I think this is pushing them out of the tent.
What strikes me about it, it assumes that voters don't need to have this option on the table. If you have a problem with a naturalized citizen serving in any of these offices, then you don't vote for them. I mean, like I said, one of the preconditions of coming to this country and being a citizen, if you are immigrating here, is that you can't be president or vice president. Fine. But, like, trying to apply that same standard to not just the top, very top two constitutional offices, but applying it kind of more broadly, I think. But if the voters don't want these people in office, they just don't vote for them, right?
I think that's, you know, this is typical politics at the election time. And I hate to say that, but you'll see a bunch of wacky bills, stuff that probably will never get on the floor, and they'll publicize it, make it look real big and useful and needed. And, you know, we need to keep these people out of our politics. I would encourage anybody, I would love to know how many of these citizens that we have now that have moved here, how many of them vote? I bet you there's a higher ratio of voting there than there are American citizens. Because when you got 13 to 15% of the population turning out to vote in an election, something's wrong. You want to fix politics, you get out and vote. You say one vote doesn't count? Yes, they do, because they add up.
What is, I mean, I'm thinking of all the different ways, what you're saying is probably true, but all the different ways you could kind of build up name ID, get some recognition. Is this just a product of the New York City mayoral race or Mam Dani? I can't really, it doesn't seem like a sound strategy to me.
My job is District 1. Our job is the state of Alabama. I don't know how much influence we can have. And the bill that is written is Alabama related. It's not nationally related. So I think we need to focus more on taking care of folks in our district and folks in our state and quit worrying so much about what they're doing in New York, because New York has been off the rails for a while. I believe the man's going to get elected. I think New York's going to pay a very steep penalty for it. Remember, we got an election every 4 years on that mayor. So sometimes blessings come in strange ways. So we can't destroy what we have down here and destroy the people that have chosen to move here from another country because of what's going on in New York City. That just doesn't make sense in my head. It just wasn't well thought out.
Yeah, well, I mean, just the concept, and I'm not on the campaign trail. I don't talk to people. I do hear from a radio audience, but they've been sort of nonchalant on this. But, like, who's asking for this? Is this something that's a problem? Is it even a threat? I mean, I don't know where in the state someone who's a naturalized citizen would be running or would try to run for office and win.
Well, as far as the state's concerned, I'm what I was saying earlier about a forum a week ago, I think it was last week, you know, it came up about naturalized citizen, dual citizenships in Congress. And they asked me if we were aware of any, and I'm not. I know a couple of people that might be, one Republican, and obviously there's at least one Democrat. I would have to check that. I have not, to be honest, I have not checked it. But again, these are state laws that we're talking about this morning, and I think it's unfair to all the legal immigrants that have come here, gone through the process, and I've had several of them to work for me. If you've never gone to a swearing-in with citizenship, you've really missed something in life, because they are so proud to be Americans. To tell them they can't run for a public office, I think is wrong. I think that goes against everything America was built for.
Well,
freedoms.
Yeah. Like I said, if this is what the people in that locality want, then So be it. I see that it's Randy Fine who's got a bill to disqualify dual, they call it the Disqualifying Dual Loyalty Act, which would prohibit dual citizenships in Congress.
That I don't have an issue with. But that's not what this bill addresses that we're talking about. Your dual citizenship and serving in Congress, I have issues with that, and I'm going to check on that. I'll make it an issue when I get back. But Congress is a little bit different than a city council member. I mean, a city council member, they're so important to a community. And if you got a community that's, 75% Asian, you're going to have a good chance of getting someone there that is, not a naturalized citizen. So we need to be careful when we put these laws together. I know it's easy to put them out there and try to get, a little bang in the press and get some free advertisement, but that's what hurts this country. I mean, it hurts the Republican Party too. But all three of those are Republicans, and they're good men. I know all three of them. I'll stand up for them anytime. But I think they just missed this one badly.
Well, I guess it's the campaign issue for now, for whatever, as if we needed one. It just doesn't, it seems to me to be a little ill thought out, like you said. Joined by Jerry. Go ahead.
No, sir. No, I was just going to say that we need to think it out further.
Joined by Jerry Carl here. He's a candidate for the open house seat now. Barry Moore running for the United States Senate, and he's running for his congressional seat. Hey, shutdown, and you see there's a lot of scary stories. We're a month into this. Congressman, I don't know. Like, here's a question for you. And like I said, you've been out on the campaign trail. It doesn't seem like many people. I know these SNAP benefits are could lapse, and there could be some real strife there, but it doesn't seem to be landing the maybe it's some traveling and the air traffic controllers too, it's the delays, but like we're not really feeling the doom and gloom I think that was advertised.
I think we will when the SNAP benefits quit. I think you're going to see an uproar of that. What is it? 42 million people that are on SNAP program. I think it's, first of all, one of the most abused programs in America, but there is a segment of that 42 million that truly need it. They need help. And I want to help people that need help. We in Congress need to focus on how do we separate the good from the bad on the SNAP program. That's one thing we need to focus on. And take care of the children and the widows that we should be taking care of. But I think the WIC issue, the SNAP issue, is going to start hitting home the first of next week. I was told not to expect anything till Thanksgiving. Why Thanksgiving? I don't know, but that's kind of a deadline that D.C. is looking at. I'm proud of the Republicans for actually doing what they've done, which is hold their guns. That's a poor choice of words on this one, but hold their ground on not turning over $1.75 trillion in free stuff. It's just free. We pay so many taxes. If anybody ever really stopped and thought how many taxes we truly pay, it's scaring to death. I mean, you pay them being born, you pay them dying, everything in between. And they want to give away more money? No. We've got to turn back to our roots and take care of the people that need to be taken care of. But we can't make these free programs for everybody that wants to get on.
Well, it's had a devastating societal impact, and it's taken aim at the not just work and people going out and getting employed, but it's the nuclear family, and how you disincentivize a marriage, or legal marriage and things like that. You see it. It's a real thing in a lot of communities.
I totally agree. And we need to take care of those people. I mean, I was fortunate. I never, my family was never on food stamps, but my mother had us all working at her feet too. We all grew up in a fabric business. We all worked, but not everyone has that privilege to do that, but these people that we know are healthy, we can get them off the couch. Let's get them off the couch. Let's get them back in society. You're talking about sometimes two and three generations that haven't worked, folks. It's a stressful thing just to come up with ideas of how you're going to get them to work. I think you have to motivate them with the idea of, you know, the free lunches are stopping. Or you got to do something to help yourself. So, unfortunately, the families in America, I think, are probably some of the biggest downfalls. I think most of the murders and young kids that they're arresting off the streets these days are fatherless, and that is a huge driving factor in where those kids wind up and where they're at today. I don't know how you embed that moral high ground into their parents. I honestly think some parents should be held responsible. I mean, if you got a 15-year-old and he's out at 2 o'clock in the morning gangbanging, shooting things up, I think mom and dad ought to go to jail too. We've got to find a way to make parents act like parents.
Well, it's a lot of things. It's a culture issue, and we're looking for a government solution. And sometimes that.
Hey, government got us in these problems. Don't look for the government to get us out.
Exactly.
This is a neighborhood issue. This is a church issue. You know, we've got to get our churches and the leaders the best politics are local politics. I know you've heard me say that 1,000 times, but you want to fix Mobile community, you start focusing in on the churches and the leadership in those churches and start taking to the streets in a very productive way and take your streets back.
Congressman, we're out of time, but always appreciate you making time for us. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care. God bless.
All right. That was former Congressman Jerry Carl there running for Congress again. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.